Hello, everyone, and welcome to Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler, and I'm so happy that you've joined us. Part of what drives my coaching career, and by extension this podcast, is to provide hope, knowledge, and assurance that we can all be more fulfilled and successful if we choose. I believe that there is tremendous power in choice. We are confronted with choices from the time we wake up in the morning until the time our heads hit the pillow at the end of the day. Will I choose to believe in possibilities for myself? Or will I choose to believe in my limitations? Will I choose courage? Or will I choose fear? Will I choose to listen to those who believe in me? Or will I choose to listen to those who doubt me and tell me that I'm not good enough? Will I choose to do the work that I know that I need to do in order to move towards my desired future? And will I choose that consistently, every day, not just once or not just for a couple of weeks, but every day for the long haul? I spent about 10 years of my life recovering from an illness that one doctor said I only had a 3% chance of recovering. And here's what I learned. I had to choose possibilities. Even when I wasn't even fully sure of what those could be, I had to choose courage. I had to choose to listen to those who believed that I would recover. And I had to do the tedious, grinding work that, at the beginning, seemed so bleak and so far away from any sort of desirable future. But I knew one truth. If I did nothing, nothing would change. And at least I was going to give myself a chance at a desirable future. This podcast was created to help you make the choices that will propel you towards your desired future. So what are we waiting for? Let's get to this week's episode. My guest today is a serial founder and started his first business nearly 30 years ago. In 2006, he found himself at the peak of his professional career as a vice president for Goldman Sachs, the premier brand within the investment banking and wealth management industry. He was 37 years old at the time. On the outside, things looked great. But on the inside, he was miserable. And he also said that his marriage was on the rocks. That led him and his wife to look inside and make some big changes, starting with honing in on their purpose. Now, he dedicates his time to helping creative leaders figure out how to leave a mark. These days, that includes their new venture as a wellness technology and life transformation company called Go Beyond. The mission of Go Beyond is to help other businesses grow by integrating purpose into their culture and process. He received his undergrad and then his MBA from Georgia State University. He and his wife recently celebrated their 28th anniversary, and they have three purpose-centered adult children. Although he no longer practices, he still maintains his designation as a certified financial planner. He is also a certified exit planning advisor and a certified purpose mentor. His name is Greg Sloan, and I cannot wait for you to meet him. Greg, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Bobby.
Absolutely. Well, and I know we connected on LinkedIn. It seems like that's where you connect with everybody these days, right? And I was kind of doing some research into your story, and I thought you'd make a great guest. So to kick us off, would you share a little bit about your story and how you ended up where you are right now?
Sure. Well, again, thanks for having me, and I look forward to just spending some time with you. So I'm Greg, originally from Hawaii, left Hawaii and moved to Atlanta, Georgia in 1988, went to college here. Got into the financial services industry and did that for the early part of my career and did very well. Was blessed to land with a company that eventually got bought by Goldman Sachs. And in about 37 years old, grew up a poor kid from Hawaii, but I found myself working for the premier brand in the industry, making more money than I thought possible, and just really felt like I should have landed, right? I should have arrived. This is what we all strive for. And I just found that I was, inside I was miserable. I was making more money than I thought possible. My But my marriage was on the rocks. I didn't have much of a relationship with my kids. I was borderline obese. And I sort of asked myself, there's got to be more to life than this. You know, why am I here? What's my purpose? What am I doing this for? You know, how does this all play out? And that was sort of the beginning of my journey, my existential crisis, if you will.
Yeah. I hear that a lot. There's got to be more to life than this.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole thing around having success, because you were a VP at Goldman Sachs, right?
Yeah. Now that title was thrown around quite a bit. There were, you know, thousands of VPs, but you know, it does play well. Yeah. I mean, look, the reality was I graduated from Georgia State University, which I would never have gotten recruited into Goldman Sachs from Georgia State. So I was blessed that a company sold that I was working for, but still we did have to go through a process of getting interviewed to sort of earn our jobs back after the acquisition.
That's right.
And it really did put me in a position where, you know what, I serve 75 corporate executives as their personal CFO, including a Fortune 100 CEO.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was at a very peak of a successful career as a wealth advisor.
Yeah. So when you first started, you know, hearing that voice, if you will, the, is this all there is and life should be more, you know, it should have more meaning, that type of thing. How long did it take you before, you know, before taking action on that?
Probably about 6 months. So
okay.
I would say, so in the summer of 2006 was when I really realized this had to change. And I went to my boss at the time and I said, look, here's the career path I'm on. I'm not fulfilled there. Here's a different career path that I think would be more fulfilling to me. And here's a different role. Here's a different job description, et cetera. And he said, well, you know, Greg, that doesn't exist here in the regions. You have to go to New York if you want to have that kind of role. And I said, no, I really believe we should create that type of role here. It was a little bit of a coaching role, internal coaching role.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, that doesn't exist. Keep your head down, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And in December of that year was when I discovered my purpose. That was the weekend that my wife and I went away to the mountains. Mm-hmm. We took a bunch of books that I would recommended to me, some personality profiling stuff. I was a finance major. I didn't believe in all this psychological mumbo jumbo. But you know, I learned pretty quickly that weekend that no, there is this other part of the brain that you really have to tap into.
Yeah. And it sounds like, because I read that in your bio, like you guys went up to the mountains, it seemed like a joint effort. You both walked away, you know, knowing your purpose, but it seemed like your wife was very much engaged with this as well.
Yeah, very much. You know, I think in general, women tend to be more in touch with their emotional side, the others, you know, the full brain, if you will. Now, I took it a little further from that weekend than she necessarily did because we still had young kids and her primary focus, you know, was integrating her purpose into her role as a mother. And 70% of us statistically, when we hear that word purpose, we think of it in the context of a career, but that means 30% of us think of it in the context of others. When we talk to women now, obviously we do this on a day-to-day basis, many women associate the word purpose with their family, whereas men generally associate with their career. But still, the grand statistic is 70% of us still think of it from a career perspective.
Yeah. So when you think about purpose, sometimes you hear about it, you know, like the big P purpose and then small p purpose. What's your take on that?
So obviously I've done a lot of reading. Again, I reiterate, I'm a finance. I have an undergrad in finance. I have a master's degree in finance. I was very left brain. If it didn't have a spreadsheet or an algorithm or a model, it wasn't meaningful to me. But in 2007, I really started diving into a lot of, psychology books and really started to understand going backwards from people like Daniel Goleman in emotional intelligence to all the way back to Viktor Frankl, who I think of as the godfather of the modern day purpose.
Amazing.
And yeah. And even Viktor talked about in his book, Dr. Frankl said, you know, refers to what Nietzsche said, you know, he who has a why can bear almost any how. So this whole idea of why are we here? This goes back thousands and thousands of years, even back to the original Greeks. But the big P is really more what I think of is how are you uniquely designed to improve the status quo for others. So Viktor Frankl talked about how we're here to serve other people. And the image that we use is really based on the graphic that we use in our company is really based on Maslow's hierarchy.
Okay.
And even through this research, you know, I did have a couple of psychology classes and remember this whole self-actualization. But what most people don't realize is Maslow changed his mind before he died. And self-actualization, he learned and he discovered, was not the peak of the pyramid. There was this higher level. You go beyond the self, which is why we call our company Go Beyond. You go beyond the self to self-transcendence. In other words, you serve other people, right? Once you've self-actualized, once you've attained a certain level of success for yourself, pretty simple. You want to pay it forward. You want to help the person behind you or next to you.
Yeah. It's really interesting. There's so much there. I'd love to explore. Yeah. I can remember all of it. I was just before this session, I had an interview this morning and we were talking about, his name is Stephen Shudletsky. And Stephen used to work, well, I think he still does support, he's in the Simon Sinek organization. Yep. But we were talking about it and, you know, the whole thing around when you go through something, then, and it can be a challenge, it can be adversity, whatever that is, then it's like, okay, now I've made it through. Now I want to help others.
Yeah.
And both Stephen and I, that's very much our story. So it's just funny how much this comes up. And then when you were talking about Viktor Frankl, I'm listening to Man's Search for Meaning on Audible right now.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. I remember that quote that you just said, and he was talking about like he was out there marching in the snow he couldn't get his socks on and his shoes were in it, and he was in such pain. And he just thought about, you know what, when you survive this, he visualized himself speaking to a group, you know, an auditorium full of people. I still can't even think about that without wanting to cry. That's just powerful.
You know, without sounding too cheesy, he definitely fulfilled his purpose by surviving the camps and then having the maturity to bring it to the rest of the world, even develop a whole new wave of psychology called logotherapy, which came out of his whole practice and his experience in the concentration camps. You know, we started helping other individuals with purpose. Forget the financial planning piece for a moment, because I started working with clients on that. But when we started to take it into a mass production, if you will, it was probably 2017, 18. So we've had over 1,000 people go through our process. And what's interesting is there's a common theme. And the common theme, we call it the ACE formula, is that we all, during a period of our lives, our formative years, which typically happens between, let's say, puberty and 25 years old, you know, your frontal lobe is not fully developed until you're 25 years old. So this part of the brain is being developed. And as Eric Erickson, psychologist back in the 40s, said, you know, we go through this crisis of identity. Yeah. Well, something happens to us. Some adversity typically happens to us or someone nearby, someone close that we love. You know, sibling dies in a car accident or your grandmother dies of cancer and you want to become a cancer oncologist or something. But I was reading your story because the very cover of your bio on your website, it says, I was 23 looking for a job in treading water. So you're right in the meat of this period of time. And again, over 1,000 people we've interviewed, every one of them has a story that, well, 99% of them have a story that occurred between the age of about 13, 14 years old and 25 that caused them to convert this adversity into purpose. And I know Simon Sinek in some of his YouTube videos agrees with me, or I agree with him, whichever way you want to describe it. But nonetheless, this is biology, right? At the end of the
That's
day,
right.
this is not just anecdotal data. There's chemistry, there's development that's going on in your brain. And as you're developing, you're taking input in, right? And I think of it as this is the period of time where we as human beings are figuring out what big problem we were designed to solve. And now some of us never get to the point where we can actually articulate that why or that purpose or that calling. But if we're successful, hopefully most of us will be able to do that. And it really succinct way.
Yeah. I love how you put that, Greg. What big problem were we designed to solve?
Right.
Yeah. I think that there's a huge focus on purpose.
Yeah.
I had someone on the show, I'm blanking on his name. I can't believe that because he's awesome. And he was talking about how there's now a term, purpose anxiety. We're like, how am I purpose? You know, what can you share some examples for people? You know, what do you mean by what big problem were you designed to solve?
So the purpose anxiety, I believe, came out of a Korn Ferry paper that was written last year, actually.
Okay.
And the purpose anxiety, again, came back to this career misery, if you will, or lack of fulfillment. And obviously the anxiety of, I think of it this way. Am I going to be remembered, right? Will people know I was here? This is a cheesy analogy, but if you think back to the graffiti that we saw, you know, growing up and on whether it was bathroom stalls or trees, right? You know, Bob was here.
That's right.
Or park benches. But the reality is we all have this innate desire to leave a mark so that people, generations, whether it's our children, grandchildren, or strangers, know that, you know, you made a dent. And so I lost track of your question. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Oh, it was around the what big problem, like examples of what big problem, you know.
So for me, I'm going to take you back to a story. My first story of when I even recognized there was something beyond myself, if you will. And I was probably 13 or 14 years old, and it was with my grandfather. So my grandfather became blind in his late 40s.
Wow.
And he was a mechanic, and he was one of those guys. Do you remember that show, That's Incredible, my grandfather belonged in this show because he was a blind man that was so incredible with all of his abilities. And he was very handy. He was a mechanic before he went blind. But we were working on a car one day, and he held up a cotter pin. Do you know what a cotter pin is? It kind of looks like a bobby pin.
Okay.
You stick it in a axle, and it holds the wheel in place. If you think about the red... The wagons that you pull your children in.
Yeah.
That cotter pin is that little pin that goes in and holds the wheel in place. Okay. So my grandfather, Frank, held this cotter pin up in my face when we were working on a car once. And he said, you know, Greg, this guy is a millionaire. Whoever invented this cotter pin, and he solved the problem, right? It was a simple solution. It's a piece of metal that was twisted. But he said, Greg, invent the cotter pin. Go out and do something that is so simple. But who knows who invented this thing, right?
That's right.
That guy left the mark, right? Every day we go through life and no one realizes how important this cotter pin is. So that was sort of his deposit into me, to my purpose, if you will, and gave me the first spark of I really had the ability, maybe even the responsibility, to do something for humanity, right?
Yeah.
To do something that helped, whether it was one person or millions of people. And so that was my deposit of where I first realized, you know, I had the ability to make an impact.
Yeah. Wow. So how do people, God, I've got a couple of questions competing for attention here. You mentioned the thing about when I was 23, and that is kind of pivotal for me because I think that my experience there was very much, I had this automatic future, and that automatic future wasn't very good, right? I was a high school grad only. Hadn't gone to college, barely. I mean, and that wasn't unique to where I was living. That was very common there. And I thought, I had that experience where I'm like, no, I can go. And I didn't think about it in those terms at that time, but I can go beyond my automatic or predictable future.
Yep.
And I really think that over the years, that's what I want to embody and inspire for others.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because I've done that many times. What's your thought there? Because I can see something.
Yeah. I mean, so my dad, the other part of my story, so that was my grandfather. The other part of my story that, again, during this 13 to 22, 23, 25 year old period is my dad was diagnosed with manic depression, paranoid schizophrenia before I was born. 1968, he was diagnosed, went into a mental hospital. I was born in 1969. So I didn't know anything different. And what I witnessed was a man who loved us, wanted to be a provider, but just physically, because of his mental illness, could not. And so part of the reason why purpose and calling, and I still think of purpose, I'm one of those that still thinks of purpose in the context of your career and some economic contribution, but he wanted to find his calling. He wanted to find that thing that he really did well and could contribute value to the world, but he couldn't. And so to some extent, my purpose is about helping other people not be my dad.
Yeah.
Or not be constrained by their whatever ingredients they were given, you know, as a young child.
Yeah. Yeah. I can totally see how that would play out for you. Wow. So that all kind of dovetails and leads to first question is, how well does it have to be articulated? Because I know I'm stacking a question here and I apologize, but sometimes I see people and they've got this beautiful purpose statement. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, that's awesome. Like, how well does it have to be articulated, or is it enough for you just to know it?
So I'm not sure I actually have a strong belief on this answer, but here's what I believe. I believe you have to have the essence.
Okay.
You may not have this beautiful, perfect, and I've helped people write these amazing purpose statements.
Yeah.
And then I've helped others that write things that didn't seem all that earth-shattering, but to them, it meant more to them. So one of the things that we have figured out, and this is our formula, it's called the ACE formula.
Yeah.
Okay, so A stands for abstract. I'm going to come back and talk about that one.
Okay.
S stands for strength or struggle, but it's typically a strength. And then the E stands for experience. So when we went back and looked at all of the interviews that we did, we found this common thread. Now the S, which is the strengths, that's a very common thing. Everyone that does this, you have to do some sort of exercise that helps you understand your strengths. Clifton StrengthsFinder is a very common one. But nonetheless, most people can articulate what they're good at.
Okay. Yeah.
E, which is that life experience we've already talked about, that adversity, we found that very common in all of the, we found that repeated over and over again in all these interviews. The A was a different one. And the reason why we call it abstract is the A typically talked about this passion that you have in life. So A is synonymous with passion. But the reason why we call it abstract is because when people would describe it to us, it was more of an abstract concept that meant something to them. It meant more than just the words. So as an example, I use the word founder.
Yeah.
And founder means something more to me than it does to other people. So when they hear me say, well, I help founders, people often think of someone who started a company. And that is the most common definition. But a founder to me is somebody who has an original idea.
Okay.
Now, when you use that definition, almost everybody's a founder.
Yeah.
Because almost everyone has an original idea, meaning that they've observed something that could be done better. So sometimes it's even checking into a hotel, right? Hey, this checking into a hotel experience is bad. I'm going to come up with a better way. I'm going to develop an app and I'm going to sell it to, you know, Expedia or whatever it is. But the point is that we all have we observe these problems, if you will, these inefficiencies in the world, and we have ideas. Many of us have ideas to improve that. Well, that's what a founder means to me. So that's an abstract concept. And so what we found was when we interviewed people, everyone had this word that could seem like a normal word, but when you started digging into it, they would say, well, I have to explain what that means to me. So it was an abstract concept. That was a really unique thing that we uncovered. And so when you come back to the question of, does it have to be this articulate, beautiful statement? No, probably not. Maybe I'm going to answer that. I don't believe it has to be, but I believe that the person has to have this essence that means something to them more than it does to other people. The statement is just a beautiful way of articulating it for the other person, right?
Yeah.
But I would argue that we have a biological and psychological, and even going back to the neuroscience, we are living, we are pursuing this purpose, even if we can't articulate it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, many of us don't have the discipline to stay focused on it or to be committed to it. So when you when you take, first of all, you have to take, you have to be disciplined to take the time to actually do some self-examination, self-awareness, you know, that's the emotional intelligence stuff. And once you do that, and once you realize, gosh, this is what is, I think it's the best definition of the best version of me. That's sort of what it's aspirational in nature.
Yeah. And that's what been from neuroscience. That's really important because that pulls us in that direction. So when you work with someone, Greg, like how do you, this is, I'm assuming you help them articulate their purpose.
Yeah. So I'm not really a coach per se. I do coaching, but that's not my business. I mean, okay. I still do business consulting and I still work with entrepreneurs integrating purpose into their business.
Okay.
And into their process, the culture and process for the employees. So
nice.
We've designed a program. Now we've got it down into software as well as videos and are distributing it to the employers, right?
Okay.
So now everyone has access to the same formula and they can go through the videos, they can go through the software, and it will get you to a purpose statement. When you follow the plan, it will get you to a purpose statement. From then to massage it and to continue to sort of chip away at the edges to where it gets articulate and beautiful, that's more of a discipline, and that some people want to continue that and some people are happy with that first version. But for the most part, it's the essence. It'll get you to the essence, which is the most important part.
Yeah. Okay. That's helpful. And now you mentioned that. Is that the Go Beyond?
Yep.
And you started, did you start that in January of 2020?
So I sold my company in January of 2020. So I missed this part of the story. I guess I skipped over it. So in December 2006, I wrote my life purpose statement. In March of 2007, I started my wealth management firm, Daniel Advisors, which I ran for 13 years. And I sold it in January of 2020.
Man.
Now, we had been working on the behind the scenes, developing the software starting in 2017 and 18. We didn't launch it into the marketplace until January of 2020. And then, of course, we're hit with COVID 2 months later.
Yeah, great timing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And tell me a little bit more about Go Beyond. Like, what's the purpose behind that? What's the mission there?
Yeah. So the mission is to help everyone live a fulfilling and impactful life. So we are distributing through learning management systems, learning and development, right?
Okay.
And so the software in the program is being distributed through, right now we're working with a company called Rally Solutions, who has enterprise customers, and their customers, you know, the Home Depots and the Delta Airlines and the big companies of the world are always looking for additional tools and development for their, mm-hmm. for the people.
Yeah.
And so if you want to grow your business, grow your people.
That's right.
Right? If you want to grow your business, grow your people. And so we help companies grow by growing their people through helping them to understand how their personal purpose is aligned with the corporate mission. And so every company has a mission statement, right?
That's right.
Sort of 101. Well, we believe every person should have a purpose statement. And then from a recruiting and a retention standpoint, if you can align a person's purpose, an individual purpose with a corporate mission, and those are in lockstep with each other, then the research shows that both parties are going to prosper on purpose together, being more productive at work, having higher, having higher output, economic output, having a higher relationship with their direct boss, purpose-driven leaders have a 70% higher engagement with their employees. There's a litany of research that shows how when you can really get it down to aligning these two, what we call aligning mission and purpose, then both parties, all stakeholders, I think, are going to prosper. Right?
Yeah. And the research is stunning on that. And it's been going on for decades.
Yeah. I did not know that there was so much research back then. So the first person that I came across was Todd Kashtan, and he's a doctor of psychology at, I think it's James Madison or University, I think. But anyway, he wrote a paper in 2009 called Purpose as a Life System. And he really gets into the psychology and the math actually behind it. And so there's a lot of data on this now.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. Now, before we started recording, you mentioned something about the five missions.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. So again, going back to the interviews that we did, we were trying to figure out how to get this to a simplified model to understand how do you integrate purpose into your life. And so when we asked individuals, what's important to you, we kept coming back to these five answers. And so number one is family, right? That was by far the number one thing that was most important to them. Number two was friends. Again, not too confusing here. Number three was career or company, if you're an entrepreneur. Number four was community, which we think of your community as, you know, this is your circle, but not your inner circle, right? You could be, you know, the soccer team and the baseball field and, you know, the baking club, et cetera. And then the last one was cause, some sort of charitable endeavor that people wanted to align with their purpose. So we think of it as, you know, two F's and three C's: family, friends, career, community, and cause. And so when you think about your purpose in life, it's almost like plugging it in or matching your purpose to each of these five missions that you have. And if you can do that, and your purpose is being invested or contributed to each of these missions in your unique way, we'd like to think that that's the most fulfilling life you can find. Yeah. And again, most of us are focused on the third item, which is the career.
The career.
But if you think about, let's use this term retirement, right? You no longer have a career.
Yeah.
There is a lot of data, of course, that particularly men that have achieved a high level of success in the corporate world, and they retire, they go through some into depression. Same statistic holds where mothers, when their youngest child leaves the home, you know, whatever you want to call it, midlife crisis or empty nest syndrome, whatever it is. But because the individual commonly thinks their purpose is that thing. For moms, we've had so many moms that say, well, my purpose is to raise children. No, it's not. That's a mission that you have in life, but that's going to come to an end. And by the way, you're always going to be a mother, but they're not always children.
That's right. Right?
And so my wife and I, you know, we have three adult children now. We've told them from a young age, when someone told this to us, of course, is that our goal is not to raise children. We weren't raising children. We were raising adults.
Yeah.
They happened to be children
at the time,
at 12 years old.
Yeah. But
we were raising adults, and God willing, we were raising adults that didn't boomerang back into being children.
Let's hope.
Let's hope. But, you know, you have to be intentional about it, right? And, and you can't be intentional unless you can see the end of the line, if you will.
Right. Well, with the five missions, I think this is, because I think you're right. Most people tend to focus on the career and maybe the family.
Yeah.
Is that challenging to find a purpose that plugs into all five of those?
So it's the other way around. Your purpose is the piece that's static. You can change your community if it doesn't fit your purpose. I think of it that way. Or you can bring your purpose to that community in your unique way. So think about a homeowners association or even a church where a lot of people find their community. You know, you're bringing yourself to that community, to that organization. And if you really want to get tied into it, you give something to the organization, because when you give something, now you're invested. But and when you donate, if you will, if you give, you invest your purpose into that community, you're even more invested, because now they have something from you that is so, that is your essence, right? That is that is the highest version or the best version of you.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to come back to your website, because you wrote something in there that we have as well. That gave me hope, for that meant if I could learn to make better choices, I could have a better life.
Yep.
And this is something that I've had in one of my little taglines. Yeah, you know, better choices equals a better life, right?
That's right.
You want a better life? Pretty simple. Make better choices. Simple to say, not always not always easy to live out. You know, my obesity. So I was obese for many years. And, you know, you look back, and I don't want to oversimplify it, but, you know, I made some pretty bad health choices. Mm-hmm. And that ended up with some pretty significant consequences, including I'm type 2 diabetic. And 2 years ago, I went through a health scare where my arteries were pretty bad shape.
Wow.
And it was the cardiologist was like, look, this is just years of bad choices. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't overnight to get you here. It's not going to be overnight to get you away, but just keep doing what you're doing, keep exercising, keep eating better, et cetera. But again, when you have this purpose of, okay, why am I here? If I'm gone or if I'm not healthy, I can't live out my purpose. I can't invest. I can't make an impact in the lives of others. Well, that's not good. So it keeps you disciplined in a way to say, yeah. No. You know, I want my grandchildren to receive the benefit of my purpose, of what I'm here, uniquely designed to contribute.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And now I don't think I've asked you this. I saw it in your kit, but what is your purpose?
So my purpose is to help creative leaders figure out how to leave a mark.
Okay. So that's your essence.
Yep.
Okay. So what would be an example, like bringing that to, let's say, community, just so people.
Yeah. The community that I tend to invest my time and energy in without pay is the startup community. Again, going back to the founders, right? So it's individuals that have ideas, and I would say they're creative, right? They're leaders in the sense that they're leading a company, but many of them don't know where to go from there. So going back to that abstract, I use the term figure out. Well, figure out, you know, most people will say, well, you're just kind of helping them with words and whatnot. But a figure is a number as well. So I use my finance and my math background to help them put together business plans.
Okay.
So now if they have an idea and I can help them with a business plan, then and the market's right and there's a demand for their service and product, et cetera, then they have a business that will, you know, hopefully launch and scale and exit and they'll leave their mark.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. One other thing I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
And I saw it in what you sent over to me. What comes first, identity or purpose?
Yeah, that was one that it took us a while to really learn ourselves. And what we definitely concluded that identity comes first, because your purpose comes out of who you already are. So think of it more like an identity being a little historical, right? Mm-hmm. That's who you are, but your purpose is who you're going to be, right? That's why I say it's the best definition of the best version of me.
Okay.
So one thing about, I hope that description made sense, but you know, one of the exercises we do is we help people select who they are, the words that they would want to identify with. So for instance, the three words for me are leader, teacher, and mentor. Okay. So that's my identity. And when I operate in that identity, I feel like I'm living as the person that I've grown to be, right? I am a leader. I am a mentor. I'm a teacher, but my purpose is who I'm going to become. That's how I'm leaving. I'm continuing to invest for the future. So one is a little more historical. One is more about the future. One other thing that I always say to people is that, you know, we pursue our purpose, but we don't accomplish our purpose. So we don't get to say if we've accomplished it. Other people will say it, right? Whether it's your eulogy or looking back, you know, Chadwick Boseman, who's the actor who played the Black Panther, did an amazing speech. I think it was Howard University at commencement, talking about how you need to find your purpose and pursue your purpose, live your purpose, et cetera. But then he died a few years later. I don't know if you know, he died of cancer. I think it was last year or the year before. Well, now we look at that actor, that man, and say, wow, he really accomplished something because he did leave his mark. People know who he is. Sure, he's a famous actor. But in the small ways, you hear these stories about how he really did. He did something for a group, a community that other people couldn't have done. And so we would say now, yeah, he accomplished his purpose. But if he was here today, he would say, no, I haven't done that. I'm still pursuing it, right? I'm still trying to live it out. So you pursue it. And others will say at some point, yeah.
That's a great distinction. And real quick too, for the person who's listening who feels stuck, like, I don't know how to get to what my purpose is.
Yeah.
Any advice or exercises, what could they do?
So, I mean, you know, commercial, put in a commercial, we are going to be developing a direct-to-consumer model, which we haven't done yet because there's a lot of costs associated with that. But there are other exercises out there. I would say, of course, I went through a series of books, right? Mm-hmm. And there's tons of books. I think if you Googled, how do I find my purpose, it's one of the most, you know, commonly Googled thing. The thing that I would go back to identity, start with, you know, what is your identity? What are the three words that you recognize about yourself that you would say, now this is me? Then think about those strengths. Don't be shy of saying, no, this is what I'm good at, right? This mm-hmm. is my God-given talent. And then one of the questions we ask in our exercise, if money was no object, you had all of the wealth in the world, but you could only help one group of people, who would you help? Mm-hmm. So that helps you to filter out, sure, I'd like to help this group. I'd like to help the homeless, and I'd like to help, you know, women, children fighting cancer. And I, you know, I'd like to help. But if I could only help one group, boy, that really makes it tough. So a lot of things we do in our software is we do stack ranking exercises, because when you do stack ranking, you force people into making choices. Talk about better life, better choices, better choices, better life. You force people into making choices because at the end of the day, we all are limited by one thing. It's just time, right? We all have the same constraint of time, and you cannot be all things of all to all people, and you can't help everyone. You're not designed to help everyone. You're designed to help a few, whether it's a few people or a few industries or a few groups, whatever it is. You are uniquely designed to serve a certain group. And when you do that, you'll be remembered. I mean, you know, Steve Jobs left this legacy of taking a product and making it beautiful, right? And no question that he has left his mark. He has left his legacy. But he was, I mean, of course, he did the Pixar thing too. But, you know, he really did change how we thought about technology, particularly technology that fits in our hand.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so this has been great. Any final thoughts? Like anything I should have asked you that I didn't, that you want to make sure we hit on?
No, the one thing that I'm always very, I always come back to is purpose is not, does not equal charity. And one of the things that is a very common mistake is that people think of purpose only, whether it's your, sometimes they think of it as their family, and sometimes they think of it as, oh, well, that you have to be giving it away. No, I don't agree with that. You're going to be more fulfilled when there's an economic exchange of value. And so I believe purpose does work within capitalism. It's not just, you know, digging wells in Africa so people can find water, which is, I'm not saying that that's not someone's purpose, but it's not, it doesn't have to be just about charity.
Yeah. I think that's I think that's an interesting take on it. You know?
Yeah. And the other thing I would say is, you know, when I look at your site and materials, you know, you use that word thrive, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really what, at the end of the time, I use the word fulfilled. I think they're synonymous. They're
similar.
But it's really about us living a big life. Not big as in grandiose where we're driving sports cars, but big as in we're making an impact. You know, there's a little social media post I did, which is a picture of the meteor crater in Arizona. You know, that big meteor crater. You know, are you going to leave a dent or are you going to leave a crater? You know, let's leave a crater.
Yeah. What I love about that last thing you said there about purpose doesn't have to equal charity. It gives people a little bit of permission.
Absolutely.
To what resonates for them. Because it's not for you or for me or anybody to say what your purpose should be or to judge it.
Correct.
You know,
absolutely.
Shouldn't hurt other people.
No. And, we won't go there and talk about Hitler. Hitler probably was pursuing his purpose too. But yeah, Bobby, this has been great. I so appreciate you having me on your podcast, and I hope this resonates with your audience.
And you know, I'm sure it will. And final question for you before I let you go.
Yeah.
How can people reach out to you? How can people find you and what you're doing?
Yeah. So obviously LinkedIn is, I'm very active on LinkedIn. And Twitter, Greg on Purpose, Instagram, Greg on Purpose. And in terms of our company, it's www.trygobeyond.com.
Nice. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing and for being here. I greatly appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Bobby.
I hope that you found value in that conversation. Here are my three insights for thriving. Number one, if you find yourself in that space of, I'm successful, so I should be happy, don't listen to that voice. Likewise, if you find yourself in that space of, there's got to be more to life than this, pay attention. If there is something inside you telling you that something isn't quite right, listen to that voice. Heed that voice. You don't have to live a life that it's just good enough. You deserve better than that. Number two, I liked the question that Greg posed when he was talking about purpose, when he said, what big problem were you designed to solve? And number three, Greg brought up Viktor Frankl, and I mentioned how I'm listening to Man's Search for Meaning on Audible. And it's an amazing book, of course. And I've long been a fan of Viktor Frankl because way, way back in 1989, when I didn't even know who he was, I saw a quote of his that changed my life. And now that probably sounds dramatic, but it was true. I was going through a hard time in my life at the time, and I was driving to work one day and I was feeling really down. I passed a church that had this reader board out front, and every week they had a different quote on it. And this particular week, the quote on it was from Viktor Frankl, and the quote was this: the one thing you can't take away from me is the way that I choose to respond to what you do to me. The last of one's freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given circumstance. I almost drove in the ditch. I was in such a hurry to pull into the parking lot. I pulled in the parking lot, I wrote down the quote, and I also wrote down his name. And again, I didn't even know who that was at the time. So that night after work, I went to the public library. I mean, remember, this was before the internet. But I wanted to find out who he was. So I looked it up and I learned his story. And I sat there in the library and I just wept. I was so moved and so inspired. And I thought, there is absolutely nothing that I'm going through that begins to compare to what he endured. And if he can have that sort of courage, then I can too. And from that day on, I began choosing my attitude, or trying my best to, because there are some false starts in there and it's a learning process. But that day changed my life. So those are just my thoughts on the conversation. I hope you had some takeaways as well. And by the way, if Greg's story around being successful in his career, but thinking that there's got to be more to life, if that resonates with you, please reach out to me at bobby@unyielded.net. We are doing some research into this area, and we'd love to learn more from you. So thanks for tuning in, and I hope that what you're hearing on this podcast is helping you thrive no matter what.